Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 9 of Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. Thank you very much for downloading this episode. This is the first in a two-parter about two types of new psychoactive substances, also sometimes called legal highs. In this episode, rapper Scroobius Pip and I discuss synthetic cannabinoids. After setting the scene with a little discussion about what's meant by the term new psychoactive substances. Synthetic cannabinoids are often known by brand names such as spice and are generally a chemical that's sprayed onto some sort of dried plant. So here it is, Pip and I say why to synthetic cannabinoids.
Dr. Susie Gage.
Cool. Right, so the next two podcasts are kind of a two-parter, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And they both the substances that we're going to be talking about sort of fall under the heading of new psychoactive substances.
Right.
But it's not really a very helpful heading. So I'll start off with an unhelpful heading. Sorry about that. So new psychoactive substances is a legal definition. And it usually refers to substances sort of newly synthesized or ones that are emerging but weren't controlled by the United Nations conventions.
Right.
So, but it doesn't have to be drugs that were just made recently. It could be drugs that have been made sort of decades ago, but only recently become sort of popular street drugs, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there are potentially sort of industrial chemicals or even substances that have been developed for sort of neuroscientific reasons that then become used as recreational drugs sort of after that as a sort of byproduct.
Yeah.
So all of these things would be classed as new psychoactive substances. And they're also what used to be termed legal highs.
Yeah.
But since the Psychoactive Substances Bill, they're sort of not really legal anymore.
Yeah.
So probably we need a kind of a new term for these drugs, and also they probably need to be split into more than one category, which is why we're doing this as a two-parter.
Again, it's such a common term, but such a vague term.
Yeah.
There's such a wide range of what these things are, and when they're particularly when it went from, because originally my thought, originally my knowledge of legal highs was where people would hear that this particular thing, oh, you can smoke that, or you can do this, or snort it, or whatever else. Mm. Then the era came when those things were then being packaged as legal highs, essentially, or they were being packaged as you're going to use them as incense or whatever else it's claiming, but the reality is they're packaged in bright colours with cool names to be, look, this is a legal high. So it's even that in its time has had a progression, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the key things about new psychoactive substances is that they're not necessarily new, and they're not necessarily trying to synthesise the same substance.
Yeah.
But in this first part of this episode, or first episode of this two-parter, we're going to focus on synthetic cannabinoids, which are also sometimes called synthetic cannabinoid receptor agonists.
Right.
And so this is things like Spice and K2, Joker, Black Mamba, Cowboy, Kush, Chronic, they've all got generic brand names that are sort of dependent on geography and culture. And there are probably quite a few different synthetic cannabinoids out there, but they're all trying to mimic THC. So it's one of the sort of the main active ingredient in cannabis and the one that gives you the sort of high, intense feeling that you get from using cannabis.
It's fascinating because they're all brand names or whatever else under these ridiculous titles, but most of the people taking it don't even know what they are. Again, it's weird because I saw... I'm glad that we were discussing this because I saw some cop program on Sky One or something late at night, and there was a lot about this, about the dangers of the legal highs, and there was people on there who looked terribly, like the physical effects were awful kind of thing. It's like you'd look and think, oh, this is clearly a heroin issue or something like that, and it's like, no, they're into this small packet of stuff that they buy at their local shop.
Yeah. So these kind of synthesized chemicals are usually dissolved in acetone and then sprayed onto sort of herbal substrate, so like dried plants basically, so that you can smoke them. And sometimes they're also flavored as well to reduce the kind of chemically taste. Yeah. So once they've been dried out, they can be packaged and then you can roll it into a joint with or without tobacco and kind of smoke it like you would smoke cannabis. Some of them have also been formulated for use in sort of electronic cigarette kind of devices. And there are some case reports as well of people sort of injecting these synthetic cannabinoids as well. So far, this has only really been in people who already inject drugs.
Right, okay.
So there are potentially hundreds of slightly different compounds available, or brands, if not thousands. And they were originally developed as a scientific tool, so to be trying to use to treat various conditions where it's looked like cannabinoids, the endocannabinoid system might be involved. So perhaps some of the things that we talked about in the cannabis episode.
Yeah.
Some of them are now developed specifically for recreational purposes after sort of the initial ones that were developed for clinical use sort of started being used recreationally. Then people realised, oh, well, we could tweak this and make different ones. So what do you think the appeal of synthetic cannabinoids are?
Quite bluntly and stupidly, it's the legal part of legal highs. It's seen as a legal thing and therefore, again, ignorantly seen as safer and seen as a safe option or a safe choice. And I get that that's a simple jump to make, but it's also a ridiculous jump to make. It's legal to inhale exhaust fumes, but it will kill you if you do it in an enclosed situation. It's like, that doesn't mean it's safe just because it's legal. If it's something, as you said, that initially, and obviously it's changed now, but initially they weren't made for recreational use, therefore... Yeah, there's a lot of poison that you like. Bleach is legal. Don't go down bleach. It won't do good things.
But I think it's perfectly reasonable, or not necessarily reasonable, but unsurprising that people thought, well, it's a legal version of cannabis, and if it's a legal version of cannabis, then of course it's going to be safer than cannabis.
Version. Yeah, completely understand. That mindset. It's just that thing that as soon as you look into it even marginally deeper, it's like,
Hang on a minute,
you should probably be smoking cannabis instead, essentially.
Yeah, well, I think it's been relatively cheap.
Affordability,
easier to get hold of than cannabis for some people. But this is more of an issue in the US than here, but also it didn't appear on screens, forensic screens, though, for people in the armed forces, for people in prison. And even in the USA, for kids doing sports at school, they get drug screened quite frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you can take a substance that you want to take that won't show up on these screens, that's more appealing.
It isn't going to come up on your testing.
More traditional drugs that are screened for.
Yeah. So if in theory it's the same effect but not popping on your tests, then I get that.
And it has been described as synthetic cannabis, which even more makes you think, oh, well, it's just like a legal version of cannabis.
Yeah.
But it's sort of qualitatively and pharmacologically different to cannabis. So it's not really helpful to discuss synthetic cannabinoids as synthetic cannabis because it's sort of a distinct group of drugs.
Yeah.
And some sort of people who work in with drug users are reporting that actually people are now turning up straight away using synthetic cannabinoids, having not gone through using herbal cannabis at all.
Yeah, again, the appeal of it being a legal version, I can completely say that a lot of people have jumped straight to that because it will be seen as a less dangerous and more acceptable choice. I don't want to break the law, but you know.
But I've heard that cannabis is fun. So this is a legal version, so great, but perhaps not so great.
And so there
are potentially thousands of these, but in the UK it tends to be a small number of them have been around. And the, even though the Psychoactive Substances Bill has been brought in, Council for the Misuse of Drugs, the Government Council, is actually thinking about bringing in a control of these substances under the Misuse of Drugs Act as well. So meaning they might be subject to possession offences as well, which they wouldn't be under the Psychoactive Substances Act.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know very much about the sort of the law side of it, but sort of as a little bit of an aside. Now, in terms of the effects of these drugs, so short term, it's sort of similar-ish to cannabis, but the time course can be quite different and really, really hard to predict.
Yeah.
Because although these brands might be marketed as if they're a different synthetic cannabinoid from one to the other, the chances are that there'll be more than one synthetic cannabinoid in any packet anyway, and so you won't be able to necessarily know which one you're taking. And some can have really, really short effects, some can have really, really long-lasting effects. There have been case reports of residual effects for lasting sort of a day or so after you use it, which is obviously much longer effect than for herbal cannabis.
Of course. And again, it's not a regulated thing in any way. So if they are just kind of developing it and making it up as they go along, it's completely likely that you'll have something completely different the next time you buy that thing that you're seeing as the same.
Yeah. Yeah, so some of the sort of intoxication effects are quite similar to cannabis. This kind of elevated mood, relaxation, maybe even sort of mild perceptual alterations as well. Potentially, again, the psychotic-like symptoms, so confusion, paranoia, anxiety. But there seems to be a slightly different profile of sort of adverse effects in comparison to herbal cannabis.
Yeah.
So when people have been turning up to A&E having used synthetic cannabinoids, and they tend to be reporting sort of mild psychiatric disturbance and anxiety and that kind of thing. And usually these kind of things resolve within a few hours, but unlike for herbal cannabis, there have also been people reporting things like kidney damage, even people having strokes. And liver damage, and quite severe psychiatric disorder. Again, this isn't necessarily completely different to herbal cannabis, because you do get that rarely with herbal cannabis too. But because these things are so new, there haven't been any kind of longitudinal cohort studies where you get a large group of people and follow them up over time and see the differences that happen with people who choose to use and people who choose to don't. So we're relying on kind of individuals who present, and it's very difficult to tell a lot from just one person.
It feels like such a tough one to get any accurate studies on as well, because of the vagueness of the title and of what they are. It's not a simple thing as this is cocaine or this is it's like this these legal highs, as you said, we're breaking it into two, but there's a variation of what you're actually getting here, which isn't clear to the people be taking it, I guess.
Yeah absolutely. And then with these synthetic cannabinoids, also in some people seem to lead to vomiting and nausea, which is sort of the opposite of what you get from herbal cannabis, unless you take an extremely large amount of it. You get a rapid heart rate, And again, there are these sort of individual reports of violence, of suicidal thoughts, and some people even reporting seizures. Mm. And anecdotally, hospitals are reporting that there's been, over the past sort of few years, a real increase in people yeah. turning up at A&E having taken synthetic cannabinoids.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was in the news last week about a street on Brooklyn where, in Brooklyn rather, in New York, where around 30 people were found in various states of sort of collapse.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those times when there haven't been any toxicology reports yet. And obviously, there's always a drug that is the current sort of bogeyman. And at the moment, yeah. it's probably synthetic cannabinoids. But some of them reported having used synthetic cannabinoids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But this is the big problem, is that it's very difficult to know what you've taken. And also the way that they spray the chemical onto the plant means that it can all sort of lump in one corner of the bag, for example,
and
that kind of thing.
It could hugely vary in strength and dose, I guess, as well in
that
nature, because, yeah, it's such an unregulated thing. It's just, right, we'll sling a load of it in here.
I mean, and it's not in the way that cannabis sort of grows, so it's not like the chemical is added to something else with something like a pill where you're taking just a small amount of it where it's sort of been sprayed onto something. It can really, really vary, it seems.
And you've got your cereal and you've put your milk in and you sprinkle your sugar over it. Every now and then you'll get one spoonful that's got no sugar on at all and one spoonful that's got all the sugar you could imagine. So it's, you know, it feels like it's similar in that way, that it could just all bunch up in one area, which, on sugar on your cereal, it's a nice little treat if you get all the sugar in one.
yeah.
On something like this, it can be a very different
and
thing.
And might explain why we seem to be seeing more... Well, that was my stomach. That was incredibly loud. Great. Might have to edit that bit out. Sorry. So perhaps this is why we might be seeing more people taking trips to A&E than you might necessarily see with herbal cannabis, because it's much easier to sort of overdo it and end up in a dangerous situation.
Yeah, and if you're used to it and suddenly it's vastly different from what you're used to, and again, the nature of the effects anyway, if it's vastly different from what you're used to, you're more likely to panic a lot more and, you know, supplement those. If your heart rate is up anyway, it's going to be up even more if you're panicking over it and end up in A&E.
Mm. So, yeah, if we think about the sort of longer term effects, and here we're going to have to really go into unknown territory, because it's only really, these seem to have only really been in use since sort of the late early 2000s, like 2008 or so. So we're really relying on these individual case studies, which don't tell us a great deal. So there have been some suggesting that it can trigger psychosis, but nothing sort of longitudinal where we can actually really get a cause and effect. Kidney injuries have been reported in these kind of things, but sort of understanding why is a little bit more difficult. Serotonin syndrome, which is sort of fever, rapid pulse, confusion, convulsions, and potentially even sort of organ failure and death.
Right.
But this is a quite a poorly understood syndrome as well. So how synthetic cannabinoids might be causing this is as yet unknown. And again, you still get the same kind of risks that you get from just inhaling smoke.
Yeah.
So those kind of things are almost certainly going to be associated with use if you're using it in that way as well.
It feels like a scary one, as much for what isn't known as what is known. Like there's a lot of stuff that's saying there's instances of this, but it's such an inspecific drug and inspecific.
So the only myth I've got written down for synthetic cannabinoids is what we've already touched on, that it's safer than cannabis because it's legal.
But
there's really no evidence that it's safer than cannabis, and certainly the sort of case reports suggest that it's actually potentially much more harmful because it's even more poorly understood than cannabis. Again, we can get onto what we don't know about this substance, and the answer is loads. So there are loads and loads of different chemicals that are synthetic cannabinoids or synthetic cannabinoid receptor agonists. And they're all a little bit like THC, which is in herbal cannabis, but not quite. So THC is a partial agonist of these cannabinoid receptors in the brain, these CB1 receptors.
Yeah.
So it has an effect on them. It sort of increases their response slightly, but it's only a partial effect.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of these synthetic cannabinoids that we know about so far seem to be full agonists. So it's like turning on a tap a little bit versus turning on a tap full.
Right.
So if they're increasing or sort of, yeah, increasing the firing of these receptors a little bit versus a lot, you can see why that might then lead to more extreme reactions to these, to these drugs.
Completely. And again, it's going straight in with a massive dose of something that is enjoyable or potentially enjoyable in a small dose.
Yeah.
But the same with everything. It's not enjoyable in this huge amount.
Yeah. And then, as we've already said, the dose is incredibly hard to predict because of the way the chemical is sprayed on.
Of course.
And there's also kind of thought that perhaps synthetic cannabinoids are a product of prohibition. So you certainly see them in far lower levels in countries like the Netherlands, where it's easier to get hold of cannabis.
Yeah.
But again, this is sort of a bit difficult to sort of say, well, this is the sort of causal reason why, like we were talked about in the cannabis episode, that you see lower levels of heroin use in the Netherlands as well. Mm-hmm. But is this because of the legal status of cannabis or not? It's very difficult to sort of be able to surely say that is the case. But it's interesting that these drugs aren't really used there. And I think not necessarily that surprising if it's easier to manage your use with a substance that you sort of have a bit more of an idea about what the effect is going to be. It's not surprising necessarily.
Completely. I mean,
that people would pick those substances.
It seems quite logical that if the basis of this drug is to replicate THC, if you can just get what you're replicating, then that's going to be the natural way to go, right? Rather than the more risky,
Yeah.
or potentially more risky version.
Yeah, but then at the moment, certainly in this country, these drugs are highly profitable to the people who are making them. So it seems unlikely that they're probably going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah,
certainly here. Yeah, cool. That's
excellent.
What we've got on that one.
It's a good one.
And there we are. Thanks to Professor Harry Sumnell for his advice on this episode. And once again, thank you for listening. And if you'd like to carry on the discussion, check out the Facebook group for the podcast or find me on Twitter at Sousaphone. And the second part of this topic will be up in 2 weeks' time, where Pip and I will be discussing another type of new psychoactive substance, synthetic cathinones, the most well-known of which is probably mephedrone, at least in the UK. So tune in then. You've been listening to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. The music and editing were by Jim Murray. The artwork is by @MyNameIsAd. Say Why to Drugs would not have been possible without the generous support of I'm a Scientist, Get Me Out of Here, the Medical Research Council, and Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.